Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 16. And my text today is going to be taken from verses 16 to 23. And I want to speak with you about testifying of Christ in troubled times. Testifying in troubled times. It says here in verse 16 of Acts 16, and remember, this is Luke, the physician who accompanied the Apostle Paul, that is writing this. It came to pass as we went to prayer, as we went to worship, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Actually, when that word is used of divination, it has reference to a python type god, so some type of snake worship. So here we have a woman possessed with a spirit, an evil spirit, and yet we read in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Here's where the Apostle John warned in his first epistle there in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The declaration that this spirit was making through this woman, when you see it on the surface, sounds true. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You can't find anything wrong in that declaration. This is why we need discernment today, because there are many who preach and use words that appear on the surface to be true, and yet they are not the truth.
Kwa nini tunaweza kukaa ngosa mara kwa mbili kubwa
And so, verse 18, this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, so the Lord gave him a spirit of discernment to weigh this, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour.
Ipaja kubona ndimaka 18 imuona kupirizika kwa zimena machitana mwari uyu. Ari ndimo anechita jote no masiku ambiri. Koma Paulo anafutisa mtima zitu. Kwa ndo lori ada alandia mzimu chiti mwitu na esa zinufele do kusi mzimu wa mwete. Na ashe uga na kwa mzimu ho. Ndikula mwila iwe mzina la Yesu Kristu. Uga mwaiye ndimo uga kuhuka kawiyo mweyo.
And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. So here's the reason for the title of this study. Testifying in troubled times. These men do trouble our city. And notice their accusation in verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Roman. Now, in one sense, that's true, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we preach goes against men's customs and what they think to be normal or acceptable. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will always stand in opposition to what men think and believe. This is why many preachers won't preach it, because they're more concerned, just like these were, with their own personal gain than they are the glory of Christ. And so it says there in verse 22, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. How do you know when a person is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all its glory? It's when you get this kind of reaction. People can get upset, even to the point of wanting to beat the preacher.
Since you will talk to the
Now you can see why the Apostle Paul testified there in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's much for which to be ashamed with what men preach today, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now what we have to see and remember is that the Lord was directing even in this, because it says in verse 23, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now we're going to see this next time, how God used that imprisonment of Paul and Silas to bring the Philippian jailer, a Roman citizen, to Christ. But what we see here is the importance and necessity of preaching the gospel clearly and plainly in all times, good or troubled. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, here is where we see this instruction that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, and it's important. It applies even what we're looking at here in Acts chapter 16. Notice the language in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee. So this is not an option. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, or even the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, who shall judge the quick, that is the living, those that are still living, and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom when he comes again. So what this means is that this charge that he gives is for all times until Christ comes again. We can't think that, well, the Bible has been around all these generations and everybody has a copy, and so today it's not as important for us to be clear on the gospel as it would have been back in Paul's day. That's foolish thinking. Or as some wrongly say, well, everybody's a Christian anyway, and so we don't necessarily need to stay focused on the gospel. We need to preach other things. No, look in verse 2. Preach the word. When it says preach the word is Christ. Preach Christ. Be instant. In other words, preach with urgency. In season, out of season. In other words, at all times. And notice here the instructions given. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And here's the reason. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That was true back in Paul's day, and it's true today. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That speaks of people that they like to be scratched where they itch. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, verse 5, in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, that is a gospel preacher, make full proof of thy ministry. For me, this is the evidence of someone that has truly been taught of the Lord in the preaching of the gospel. And that is that from the time they've been taught of Christ to the end of their life, their message does not change. It is Christ and Him crucified, regardless of times and events. We see the same urgency in the Apostle Paul in going from place to place and preaching the gospel, facing much opposition. And yet in none of that was he moved, because the Lord was keeping him. The Lord had revealed this gospel in his heart, and he could do nothing but preach it. And this is the exhortation to us as preachers as well. There will not be times of peace that we can expect in this life. We are to testify at all times, whether in season or out of season.
Și vedem în legii culturalistă din Rovaite, am acolo anul, și pe legării de Cernobilo, nu mai le dau sau țină Cernobilo, o comunitare de oameni se că Lideu Cernobilo este o cruz o păcifică.
When Paul says to Timothy here, preach the word, in the original, this is very abrupt and emphatic. In fact, the way it's written is with strong emotion and intense earnestness on the part of Paul. The word preach there is actually the word herald. In the old days when the king had an announcement to make, he sent a herald out in front of him, and that herald would blow a trumpet and get people's attention, and then would unfold a scroll and would make a decree of the king. He would not change one word of the king's decree, but he would cry it out with a loud voice. That's the word that's used here, to preach, to herald. Contrast this with what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10 concerning false preachers. It says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. If you've ever seen a sleeping dog, he doesn't want to be bothered. Even if there's a thief coming through, they'll sleep on. That's how these are described. In fact, verse 11 says, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. In other words, they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. So this was the case here even in Acts 16, where this woman who was prophesying for gain for these religious leaders that she served, when now Paul came preaching the gospel and that spirit was taken out of her, they began to lose their income, their money that they were gaining as a result, and they became upset.
Kono ada tsho ngali pa uno atala ngeo che pomo ngulo
That's what verse 19 of Acts 16 says. When their masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone. See, that was their greed. They served their work for the money, for their self-interest, just like these greedy dogs in Isaiah 56:10 are described. And for that reason, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. I will tell you that throughout the world today, in all kinds of denominations, there are people that are gathered together that are hearing people that are prophesying, and doing it for personal gain. And when you come preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and declare these things as false, all of a sudden now you've got a fight on your hands. But this is where Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word and then be instant in season and out of season. In other words, there are no times where we can say, okay, now I'm going to preach the gospel, but then other times say, no, I'm not going to preach the gospel here. No, at all times, at all seasons, favorable or not, the gospel we are to preach. And for me, this is the test of one who has truly been raised up by the Lord, because that one does not let circumstances affect whether or not they're going to declare Christ in all his glory. Now, there are times where we preach the gospel in season. Right now, I sense that here with the gospel being preached to you there in Malawi. There are those that the Lord has made willing to hear, and that's a blessing. But you know, and I know as well, that this gospel is an offense to those who have not yet been taught by the Spirit of God. And so when you preach this to them, they are unwilling to hear, just like these magistrates plugged their ears. They were unwilling to hear. They were willing to have these servants of God beaten rather than to bow.
Now
Now, the preaching of the gospel is not inviting men to believe. No, it's a declaration. That's why Paul said, I charge thee, preach the word. Declare it as a herald would declare it on behalf of the king. Now notice these three or four instructions that are given here by Paul as to how the gospel is to be preached. First of all, reproving. The word reprove there is not just pointing out men's error, but it is preaching the gospel in such a way as they must take the blame. They see themselves before God as guilty, as rebels. I will tell you that unless a sinner has taken the blame before God for their guiltiness before Him and their sin, they've not heard the gospel. When the Spirit of God truly reveals Christ in the heart of the sinner, we know it from the fact that that sinner takes the blame before God. And then the second word there, rebuke. This is even a sharper and more severe word. It's used by Jude over in Jude chapter 1 and verse 9. In rebuking and denouncing those that oppose the gospel. Don't call them your friends or brother or servants of God. They are to be rebuked. It's used of the Lord rebuking the devil. It's the same as Paul here in Acts 16 and verse 18 being grieved with this woman, even though she was saying some right things, yet being grieved, turning to the Spirit and commanding the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. That was rebuking that spirit. The spirit of Antichrist that is in men is to be rebuked at all times, in all ways. It's not to be tolerated. Just like with this woman, she appeared to be serving the Lord by what she said, because she followed Paul and those that accompanied him, crying and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation," in verse 17. Apparently, she was actually doing God's work. Today there are preachers just like this woman. They are self-appointed. And when you listen to them, you think that they're saying some good things. But as you continue to listen, you find out that actually they are of the spirit of Antichrist. How did Paul, after listening to her these times, discover or learn that actually it was an evil spirit that was in her? It was based upon who she was serving. She was doing all of this for her masters and bringing them gain. There are those today that in matters of doctrine may seem to be preaching a good message, and yet they do it for self-serving reasons. They desire to gather men around themselves and to glorify themselves in it. That is a spirit of Antichrist. Now here in Jude 1 and verse 9 that I mentioned earlier, when it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. The Lord never revealed where he had buried Moses' body. It says, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." Now here again is where we can tell and know whether or not there's a spirit of Christ in somebody, because when they are rebuked by the gospel, the Spirit of God uses that rebuke to bring them to repentance. But where there is not the Spirit of Christ in them, that rebuke will harden them all the more.
Did you find out, James?
But this is all part of preaching the gospel and not being moved by the opposition of sinners. And that's why Paul adds to the reproving and the rebuking, this third in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4, exhort. Exhort means to continue to encourage and direct those that God has given that hearing to direct them to Christ. And the fourth direction that Paul gives to Timothy is to do this with all long suffering and doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's doing so with all gentleness and with all patience, knowing how it is that the Lord has taught us. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So we patiently, by God's grace, instruct others, but we don't compromise the message of Christ because of men's opposition. So there are two lessons that I want us to draw coming back here to Acts chapter 16 in this matter of preaching or testifying in troubled times. There will be troubled times. We can expect it. And the first lesson that I would have us to consider is that these troubled times are spiritual in nature. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and wicked places. And where is the battle primarily? You notice here in Acts 16 and verse 16 that it was as they went to prayer, as they went to worship, that this damsel confronted them. Here's where I would have the Lord to give each of us a spirit of a discernment, because when we gather for worship and people come to hear us, we just assume that all is well. Everybody there is there because they really want to hear the gospel, but nothing could be further from the truth. Where is it that the opposition often arises? It's from among us. It's from within us. It's in those times and places where our desire is to exalt Christ and to make his glory known. And it is then that we see that there's trouble afoot. In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 18 and 19, this was the warning that John gave to his readers. He said, little children, he's addressing those that are God's by his grace, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now, are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. But now listen, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Where did this opposition arise? But from among them. So let's be aware that wherever we gather to worship God in truth, because coming back to Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, you will have those that would join themselves unto you and want to benefit from those times of worship by identifying with you. And just like this woman here with this false spirit within her, she said some good things. She declared that these men are the servants of the Most High God and show unto us the way of salvation. She was declaring something by that spirit for personal gain. She was hoping that by her announcing these things, she could profit herself personally. I'll tell you that it takes spiritual discernment of the Lord, and sometimes it's not immediately apparent, because here it says that this she did, verse 18, many days. I will tell you that I face this challenge all the time, especially since this gospel message that I preach is going around the world. I get requests all the time from different preachers in different places who will tell people, ah, this man is preaching the truth and you need to hear them. But they're using me in their particular ministries and places and presenting me to their people in order to authenticate what they're doing. But what they're doing is not preaching the gospel. And yet they will say, ah, you need to hear this man. They're just wanting to use me for their own purposes. You have to be aware of that as well. Any of us that have been parents, and the Lord has enabled me to raise 3 children, but we know that with our children, if they really want something, they're going to come up to you and be so nice. They're going to tell you, I love you. Whenever my children would all of a sudden get nice with me, and even though they've been disobedient another time, but now they're very nice and sweet, I'm always thinking, okay, what do they want? There's something they want.
Come up to that point.
Any of us that have been parents, raised children, know that those children can be sweet to you. Whenever they want something, they'll come up and hug you and tell you how much they love you. And I'm always thinking, okay, what do they want? There's something they want. That's why they're being nice. But the scriptures say to beware when all men speak well of you. Beware when you have people that come into your midst and all they can talk about is you. See, if you really look carefully, coming back here to Acts 16 and verse 17, you look carefully at what this woman was saying. She was not pointing sinners to Christ. She was pointing people to these men. Notice, these men, verse 17, are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. The focus was on the men. That's where the error is.
Before 17,
And that's why you read in verse 18, Paul being grieved. Any man that serves the Lord Jesus Christ and is the herald of the king, it will be grieved when people will try to put the focus on them, even elevate them. That's not where the focus is. It's on the Lord. You remember with John the Baptist, when they tried to make an issue of the fact that there were more following Christ than there were following him. What did he say? He didn't complain. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. We all should get very concerned when we hear people exalting us. If you keep hearing your name coming off of people's lips and not the name of Christ, there's trouble. When you hear people saying, oh, wow, when that man preaches, he's so full of the Spirit, and when he preaches, people are moved and things happen, you should beware. If they're referring to the work, is your work, oh, you should see the work that so-and-so is doing and such good is coming from it, beware. I will tell you that men's flattery is as much antichrist as their opposition. Here's the spiritual discernment. Again, this is where troubled times are. When men speak well of you, those are troubled times. Now, they need to be speaking of Christ. Much damage has been done by flattery. And this is where, even in our midst, we need to beware. It takes place right where we gather for worship. Men aren't there to hear of Christ. They want to exalt you. And there's the problem. I know that many in our congregation here, in different places, even in Malawi, they are grateful for the Lord using me to preach the gospel for them. And they express that appreciation. But I always remind them, Give the thanks to the Lord, because I am what I am by the grace of God. That's it. See, these things must be, the glory belongs unto the Lord alone. That's it. And I'll tell you, that's why Paul was grieved in his spirit. And notice, when he turned to the Spirit, and that's who we're addressing. We're addressing these people, but it's to that spirit that's within them that would want to glorify man. He said, I command thee. See, there's the rebuke. There's the reproving. In what? The name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her, to denounce such a spirit. Now there are many today that go around commanding and rebuking in the name of Jesus Christ who don't even know him. They're not even his. And you know it, because even though they take the name of Christ to their lips, yet they're doing it for self-serving reasons. They're doing it to get a following. That's a spirit of Antichrist, and even more grievous in that they use his name. But here Paul is using it for the purpose of taking the attention off himself and off of these as the servants of God, and to place it upon the one to whom the glory is due. When he says, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, he's being that herald that goes forth to declare one thing, and that is the glory of the King. And that better be our message as well. But just know that in this matter of preaching the gospel, the trouble, it's a spiritual warfare. It's the Christ of Scripture as revealed in God's word versus all that men would do and have for their own glory.
Yeah.
But just know that not only is the trouble spiritual, but it will bring persecution. That's the second point I want you to see here. That when these masters, notice, saw that the hope of their gains, everybody has a hope, but for some, that hope is to continue to benefit personally from what they do. And when that is disrupted, you've got a fight on your hands. They will accuse you, they will accuse me of troubling the city and accuse us of preaching against their customs and their laws, as we find in verse 21 of Acts 16. But here again, we've got to be ready for this, because I will tell you, there's no compromise between declaring the gospel of God's glory in Christ and catering to men's customs and traditions. The two can't go together. That's why the Lord said you can't take new wine and put it into old wineskins, because that new wine is going to burst that old wineskin. That is all that pertains to man and his traditions and customs. All of that is going to be blown to pieces. But this is why many will not preach the gospel today in all of its clarity. It's not because it's not plain in the word, but men fear that if they take this word and declare it for what it says, now they're going to lose their support, they're going to lose their popularity. They're going to lose all that they consider gain. And for that reason, they prefer to stick with their customs and traditions. Those are not God's servants. Sometimes that clear preaching the gospel may bring physical persecution, such as Paul and Silas here being beaten and cast into prison. But when the Lord has taught you, none of that moves you. Better to be bound in men's prisons and pursued and persecuted by men, but free in Christ, rather than to serve men freely and be under the condemnation of Christ.
Wabino,
My prayer is that the Lord would strengthen each of us to testify in troubled times. Those are going to be all times. There's never a time when you stand and declare this gospel message. Yes, there are those that the Lord draws by his grace, but it's always going to be through trouble. As long as we're in this flesh, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be those that would prefer to see you dead than to continue to hear this message that glorifies Christ and him alone. But I will tell you, the Lord strengthens his own and causes them to faithfully declare him in season and out of season. We'll see next time how the Lord used this very opposition to put Paul and Silas in the path of one of his elect, that Philippian jailer, who would not have otherwise heard had not these been beaten and put into prison. So God works all things for his glory and honor, and for that I'm thankful.
Adam,